Now here, very obviously, we come to the heart of the Christmas story. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became a man in Christ Jesus.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And today we come to a message which really, as you said, is the heart of the Christmas story. Jesus humbling himself, becoming flesh, being born among us. When you stop and think about that, Colin, it really is mind-blowing.
Yeah, and the Apostle Paul puts it this way, he was manifested in the flesh. It's an amazing statement. And you know what's gripped my mind and heart here is to think that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in the coming of Jesus into the world. Hebrews tells us, for example, that it was the Father who prepared a body for him. And we know that from the message of the angel to Mary that the Holy Spirit came upon her so that she conceived Christ the Lord. And as you said, Steve, the Son of God himself humbled himself and took human form. What an amazing thing this is, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit acted together so that we should know God and we should be able to come to God. And that's at the very heart of the Christmas story. And I'm so glad that we have the opportunity today just to ponder the wonder, the mystery, the glory of it, and to see and to savor again the love of God for us in Jesus Christ.
Well, we're going to do that today as we open up God's Word together. If you have a Bible around, grab it, have it handy as we begin a message called Jesus Born and Risen. Here is Pastor Colin.
Well, good morning, everyone. If you would open your Bible at 1 Timothy and chapter 3 and verse 16, this verse that is the focus of our reflection in these weeks leading up to Christmas. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where we read these words, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." The mystery of godliness. We saw last week that to be godly means very simply that you are God's man or God's woman. God has set apart the godly for himself. A person who is godly knows that above everything else, he or she belongs to God. A godly person loves God, walks with God, lives for God, desires God, and so over time becomes increasingly like God. Godliness is what you were made for. God made us for himself. But the impulse, of course, of our fallen human nature is not to be God's man or God's woman, but to be, as it were, our own man, to be your own woman. So how can you be godly? How can you fulfill the purpose for which God made you and live the life to which God calls you? That is the theme of this verse, and Paul refers to it as the mystery of godliness, how you can live the life for which God made you and to which he calls you. And we saw that this word mystery in the Bible has a very distinct meaning. It doesn't mean a puzzle that you can't sort out. Rather, in the Bible, a mystery is very simply a secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. So what then is this mystery of godliness? In other words, the secret that God has made known, though its full wonder has still not been revealed. What is the secret of how you can live the life to which God calls you, the life for which you were made? And the answer to that is that the mystery of godliness is Jesus. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He. And then follow six marvelous statements about our Lord Jesus Christ. So get this established in your mind and in your heart. It's our focus in the lead up to Christmas this year. The open secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known, is that through Jesus Christ, that is particularly when Jesus Christ is in you, you can fulfill the purpose for which God has made you and live the life to which he calls you. Now, we are going to focus then on how this actually happens and who this Christ is who comes to dwell in those who draw near to him in humble faith. How can you indeed grow in this godliness to which God calls you, which is made possible for you in and through Jesus Christ? Well, there's a great principle in the Bible that has sometimes been described in these words, becoming by beholding. And it's stated most clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, where Paul says this, "We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." So notice that he's telling us very clearly how we are changed, how we are transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're being transformed into the same image. How does it happen? Here's how it happens: beholding the glory of the Lord. Becoming by beholding. You become more like Jesus in as much as you behold the glory of the Jesus you seek to become like. Is that not then why Paul moves so quickly from the mystery of godliness, how you can live the life to which God calls you, to the greatness and glory of Jesus? Because the more you behold this Jesus in all of his glory, who was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels and so forth, the more we behold his glory, the more we will be transformed into his likeness. And that is why in the weeks up to Christmas then, with our hearts set on godliness, we want to behold the glory of Jesus. Right here in this verse, the glory of Jesus born and risen, the glory of Jesus seen and proclaimed, and the glory of Jesus believed on and glorified. Well, the first two of these today, I hope you have this wonderful verse open in front of you. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. Here it is. He was manifested in the flesh. Now here, very obviously, we come to the heart of the Christmas story. As we've just heard, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became a man in Christ Jesus. And of course, what Paul is saying here is that the incarnation, that's God becoming a man in Christ Jesus, the incarnation is a mystery. That is, it is a secret that God has revealed, but its full wonder is still to be made known. Let's gaze into this mystery as we prepare for Christmas this year. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were all actively engaged in the miracle of the incarnation. The incarnation, God becoming man in Christ Jesus, happened at the initiative of the Father. The Father sent his Son into the world. There's a remarkable statement in Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 5, on the work of the Father in regards to the birth of Jesus Christ. We read this: "When Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me.'" Isn't that a remarkable statement? That Jesus should say to the Father, you're the one that prepared a body for me. The Father, in other words, was the designer of the incarnation. Marvel at this. The Father designed, architected, if you like, a body for the Son. The incarnation, in other words, is a miracle designed by God Himself that therefore only God Himself can know its full wonder. Why a body? Why did the Father design a body so that God could become man in Jesus Christ? Why this design of the incarnation that came from the Father Himself?
Well, we'll begin to answer those questions in just a moment. So stay with us here on Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message is called Jesus Born and Risen. You know, if you ever miss a broadcast, you can always come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org, and that's a great way to stay up to date with Pastor Colin's preaching. But if you want to know more about the Bible, about how it's not just a collection of stories, but it really is one story that begins in a garden, ends in a city, and the whole way through it points to Jesus, I want to invite you to come to our website, openthebible.org, and click on Open the Bible Story. We have three different journeys that will take you through the Bible story, and you're going to get a better understanding of the entirety of the storyline of the Bible. Again, come to our website, openthebible.org, and click on Open the Bible Story, and take this guided journey through the Bible. All right, let's get back to the message. Once again, here is Pastor Colin.
Why did the Father design a body so that God could become man in Jesus Christ? Why this design of the incarnation that came from the Father Himself? Three reasons. Jesus took our flesh so that by becoming one with us, He could live the life to which God has called us and live it on our behalf. That's why God became a man in Christ Jesus. Second, Jesus took our flesh so that He could offer this perfect life that He lived on our behalf as a sacrifice for our sins. Hebrews 10 makes this very, very clear in the statement that we just looked at. It begins by telling us, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, that it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So all that was happening in the Old Testament, with all of these sacrifices being made day after day, week after week, and year after year, none of it could actually take away sin. And the book of Hebrews goes on to say, consequently, therefore, because the Old Testament sacrifices could not take away sin, consequently, when Jesus came into the world, He said, a body you have prepared for me. In other words, I have come to do what the sacrifices in the Old Testament could never accomplish. I have come to be the sacrifice. I have come to take away sin. And it is for this reason that Jesus Christ became one with us. I have come to do your will, Christ says, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. And that will involved not only God becoming a man in Jesus, but Jesus laying down that perfect life that He lived as a sacrifice for our sins, which is why the New Testament emphasizes that Jesus suffered in the flesh. He took our place. He was our substitute. He went to the cross for us. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. He could not have done that except that the body was designed and that God became man in Christ Jesus. He became one with us in the flesh so that He could live the life that God calls us to live, so that He could lay it down as a sacrifice. And third, and this is marvelous, He took a body like ours so that He could transform it in His resurrection. In a resurrection body that would become the pattern and the prototype of ours. Think of the marvel of this miracle of the incarnation designed by God the Father for your eternal good. Not only was the Father involved, though, as the designer here, a body you have prepared for me, but the Holy Spirit was directly the operating agent in the bringing about of the incarnation. This is repeated three times in the Christmas story. You remember the words of the angel to Mary. The angel answered her when she asked, "How will this be? How will the one who is promised come to be born, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Matthew tells us that Mary was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And the angel revealed to Joseph, "Do not fear to take Mary to be your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." So gaze into the marvel of this mystery, that God the Father designed a body for God the Son, but it was God the Spirit who formed the human nature of our Lord Jesus Christ in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Great indeed is this mystery. Here is the secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is yet to be made known. And not only was it the initiative of the Father and the work of the Holy Spirit, it was very clearly, the incarnation was very clearly the choice of God the Son. God the Son freely and willingly chose to leave the glory of heaven and to be born of Mary for us. We have this in Philippians in chapter 2 that most of you know well. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But what did he do? What did the Son of God do? He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. Look at what God the Son has done. He exchanged the riches of heaven for a manger in Bethlehem. He exchanged the praise and the worship of angels for the insults and for the mockery of men. He exchanged the joyful fellowship with the Father that he had always known from all eternity for a life in which at one point he would cry out in utter darkness, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And he made this choice not under any degree of compulsion, but freely and willingly out of love for you. Now, we are gazing into a mystery here, aren't we? I mean, this staggers the mind. God has revealed the marvelous truth of the incarnation, but the more that you stare at it, the more you say, well, the full wonder of it has not yet been made known. But do you see how clearly and how deeply and how wonderfully God loves you? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit operating together as one for what? For you. And for your salvation, it was for this reason that Jesus Christ came into the world. Great indeed is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh. Now, this word manifested means simply made known. And here it's important to observe that in order to come to know God, two things need to happen. The first is that God must make himself known. You know, we'll never find God unless he makes himself known. He's invisible. No one has ever seen God. And God has made himself known in Jesus. That's the wonderful truth of the incarnation. John chapter 1 and verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. But here's the problem. Even this side of the incarnation, 2,000 years on from the incarnation, God has made himself known in Jesus Christ. God became man in Jesus Christ. God has come into our world. But the world into which he has come cannot see what God has made known in Jesus. John says it this way in the words that were read for us earlier. He, that is Jesus, was in the world. And the world was made through him. Yet, the world did not know him. God made himself known in Jesus. Yet, millions and millions of people today are no nearer to God than if Jesus had never come into the world. Something else must happen if people are to come to know God in Jesus.
And we're going to discover what that something else is next time here on Open the Bible. Thanks for tuning in today. Our message is called Jesus Born and Risen. It's part of a larger series simply called Jesus. And if you miss any of the broadcasts in the series, you can come to our website and you can listen online. Our website address is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You could also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free. We have our daily and our weekend broadcast on there, as well as a plan for reading through the Bible in a year, our daily devotional that you can read and listen to, and tools to help you grow deeper in your understanding and knowledge of God's Word. If you don't have the app already, I hope you'll go get that. You'll find it at your favorite app store. Simply look for Open the Bible, or we'll link you to it through our website, openthebible.org. You know, one other way to get a copy of today's message and the series that it comes from called Jesus is to order a copy of the series on CD. You can do that through our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on this station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a devotional book that Pastor Colin has written. It's called Waiting for the Lord. And Colin, what is this devotional book about?
Well, it's based on Isaiah and chapter 40, and one of the most marvelous promises in all of the scripture. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, if God is going to speak to me about how I can have my strength renewed, I want to listen to what he has to say about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is for everybody because Isaiah says, you know, even those who are young will faint and become weary and fall exhausted. I mean, that's true. And I think we begin to feel that, especially at this time of year. You know, there's so much to do. And how am I going to get it all done? And here God speaks to us about how our strength can be renewed. And we want to hear how that happens. And he says it happens as we wait on him. And in this devotional, you'll see how waiting on the Lord actually involves hoping in him, looking to him, and how he gives strength. He actually imparts strength to match the particular challenges that we face at any point in life. So this is a great scripture to soak your mind and your heart in, and especially as we prepare for the celebration of the coming of the Lord at Christmas.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this devotional book, Waiting for the Lord, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Being intelligent is a great advantage in life, but it gives you no advantage whatsoever when it comes to knowing God. That's next time on Open the Bible.